Okay, so today we're going to be looking at something very interesting, something that I believe will go a long way into blessing you and to helping you in your walk with the Lord. So we're going to be looking at building a consistency in the study of the Word and in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight, and we thank you for giving us this opportunity. Lord, I pray for whosoever is listening to me, that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened as concerning this particular matter. Thank you for your Spirit that helps our infirmities and our weaknesses. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're receiving from you strength to finish and to continue to the very end. We know you will help us, and we know your help is available to us. We thank you, Lord, through these teachings, we're coming to the knowledge of what it means and how to keep up with the consistency in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. All right, I want to take a few minutes to just welcome you all to tonight's teaching session. And I trust God greatly that it's going to help you. And if it's already something that you have, we are going to receive a strengthening feather in these habits. You know, I've just been thinking about it, and I realize how God has helped me in a very special way, you know, to be able to keep this focus. You know, it's not like I have to share experiences, but I have practically gone through whatever it is that I'm going to teach you tonight. And some of them, I had to learn. Some of them, God's Spirit just taught me how to go about it, because there are various changing scenes of life that require us still holding on firmly to consistency or keeping up with these basic habits that are needed. And so tonight I'm going to be teaching you, I'm going to be giving you the cheat codes. Amen. And 40 years from now, 50 years from now, we'll still find you staying fresh, rejuvenated, always revitalized, because you put these things into constant practice. Amen. So I come to realize that you often find many wonder how they get successful in managing these two vitals of the Christian faith to the very end. And you will find out that people have questions many times said and unsaid. So there are questions that they ask out verbally, and sometimes they just ask questions of their hearts. You know, how do I keep up with prayer and fasting and study? How do I manage my time in prayer and study? You know, how do I manage my work schedule with these vital duties of a Christian that I know I'm supposed to? How is it that I should get very busy and still remain constant? It's the difficulty of many. So sometimes the ordinary church worker is asking, how am I going to keep up with God and yet still be active in church? How is that possible? The mothers are finding out, okay, now I have 4 children. How is it that I still can have 4 children and still have a discipline? The young people are asking, how is it that I will be able to still follow the Lord and keep up with these basic disciplines, with the schedules I have at work, with what I have to do, you know, with the kind of life that I live, and with the demands and the pressures of life that it comes with. And sometimes even pastors are asking, because many times there are administrative duties the church has to run, you know, things that have to be put in certain places. And that's why people need to be trained and raised so that they can take roles and responsibility of administrative duties while the pastors focus mainly on the prayer and in the study of the word, as said in Acts chapter 6. So how do you go about all of these things? I trust you'll find answers today. And the truth is that it's a battle, but it's a battle that can be won easily. So you can win this battle, all right? You can win it. And oftentimes in battles, not many people are smart enough to know that every battle comes with a very specific strategy. The moment the strategy begins to fail, the battle also begins to fail. So I'm going to be showing you certain strategies, just pointing them out to you. And then if you will truly employ these things to your life, you're going to have a consistent life of prayer and a consistent life of study of the word. E.W. Keyon shares a story in one of his books, and apparently he had walked into a store. And then when he walked into the store, he found a little girl playing the piano. You know, so she was playing the piano. And she was a little girl, maybe not even more than 16 years old. But he said something. He said the kind of tunes that he heard pounding from the girl's hands were just simply amazing. So he asked, and there was a simple answer, she said. She said, keep at it. She says, I keep at it. I keep at it. So many times, not many people are able to keep at it. Amen. So while other people are sleeping, she kept up pounding those keys, playing those keys, until she became somebody who could be perfect at what she was doing. So she kept at it, and then she finally wins in the end of gaining the mastery that that skill required. So every time she played that piece, she played it one step better. Yeah, I started reading scores when I was quite younger, 12, 13, and playing the keyboard. And there's a secret. It's just to keep at it. Keep at it. And I can remember, I used to go to my tutor's house, and then he'll give me probably a score to go and play. And then, you know, when you start out with it, it becomes a bit difficult. It's like you're not really making any meaning out of the scores. You can't even tell the music pattern. You see, but the moment that your mind is determined to say, I'm going to stick to this thing, you'd realize, I don't know how it happens. I used to ask my teacher, I don't know why it happens, but it gets better and better and better and better all the time. Amen. So it means that everything else that we're going to be doing, we're going to be involved with, is going to get better and better and better if we can stick to it. So there's a power in keeping at the activity. The sportsmen, the musicians, the businessmen, they know this very well. So you see that there's a particular sportsman who keeps at a certain routine every single time. You find him going for training. You find him abstaining from certain drinks. You know, sometimes I watched a certain documentary, and there was this sport person who keeps himself in ice. Soldiers are being trained consistently over a period of time, and you get to realize that there's a certain skill and a certain mindset and a certain kind of a pattern that they keep and that they have over time. So there's truly a power that comes with consistency. So why am I sharing all of these with you? So that the spiritual man comes to know what power lies in consistency. The spiritual man ought to know this. You are that spiritual man. You ought to know what power lies in the consistency of an activity. So you should be able to know that there is prayer and there is consistent prayer. There is a study of the word and there is a consistent study of the word. The two are not the same. Entirely different. The spiritual man ought to know this. And today, I'm trusting God that none of you are going to be ever caught up in the web of prayerlessness or a lack of the study of the word. I'm trusting God for that. I'm opening it bare for you. I'm just opening it for you so that you can get to appreciate. And I'm going to show you practical things that I have done, practical things that I personally do, practical things that I've studied, that it works and it's working for the consistency of having a consistent prayer and a steady life. So quickly, we're going to look at what it means to be consistent. What it means to be consistent. Now, when we say something is consistent, it's to mean to achieve the same level of success. All right? So you are achieving the same level of success. To be consistent is to always behave in the same way, having the same attitude, with the same level of frequency and results. So there's a consistency. There's a way that you behave. There's a way that you have an attitude towards something with the same level of frequency and results. So when I say I'm going to be consistent, it means that I am going to carry out something the same way or keeping up a particular, you know, a certain allotted kind of a schedule. So I used to have a grandpa. I lost him quite recently, 80 years old. And I remember when I was a child that he used to wake up at a certain time every day. And I mean it when I say it. He used to wake up at a certain time every day. I'm sure over like 20 years or so. A certain time every day. Now, I can almost remember that when he wakes up, he has a time frame where he takes his bath. And then he always had a certain attire, like a singlet that he wears. And he sits in a certain particular chair with a certain particular coffee cup. Can you imagine? You know, so he used to like coffee a lot. So he has a set, you know, when a certain time just gets there, it's like he's awake. He has a way of dressing, the singlet tucked in. He was a medical laboratory person at the Tamale Teaching Hospital. And he had a certain way he will sit in the chair. And he had a certain cup that he would use to drink his coffee. And he had a very specific time where he will go to work. And as a child, I mean, everybody knew that. My mom knew that. My siblings knew that. Everybody around knew that. Ah, this guy, I mean, once it's a certain time, you find him sitting here. And he did that for over 20 years, 30 years, as far as I can remember as a child. What a consistency in attitude. You see that? He had a consistency in a certain attitude. And that's what I want us to be able to keep up with. At the latter, I'm going to debunk a few things that I've said early on and then give more clarity to what I mean. Amen. So the truth is that waking up is not an interesting thing. I think I'd want to ask him, and I think I did. It's not an interesting thing. But he had a certain lifestyle of sticking to it consistently and continually. So the truth is that what could we see about him? We could see a discipline. We could see a life. We could see a certain kind of a focus. That's what he started enjoying. Now, it's obviously true that nobody enjoys the real benefit of a thing if he doesn't stay consistent. Nobody enjoys the real benefit. I can assure you, nobody enjoys the real benefits of a thing until he learns consistently. So if there are going to be benefits of prayer, and I can tell you the benefits of prayer because I've probably been able to hold on. So when I explain prayer to people, they might be like, I don't know. When I explain the study of the word to people, they're like, are you sure that's true? But that's true. So to be able to enjoy the benefits of a thing, you must be able to stay consistent. It's like a boy who is trying to toast a girl. You see that? If you are a boy and you are trying to toast a girl and you just told her that, oh, please, I love you, and just one night she tells you, I'm not interested, and you just leave the fort, you are not serious. The ladies here, they are not serious. You see, when you tell her, you see that, she should be able to think about it and say, give me some time. You see that? And you also say, okay, I'll give you some time. You think about it. I'm also praying about it. I'm seeing how I can. Then the next 2-3 days, you ask again. She'll say, give me some time. You see, there's a consistency. When you stay consistent, when you keep at it consistently, when you're able to toast, say, text in, call in, follow up, text, call, buy gifts. You see, there's a consistent, you get her. Unless, of course, you know, she doesn't like you at all. That one, you don't have a chance. But anybody who is able to stay consistent, say that this is the one I want, she's the one I'm looking for, you'll be able to get her. The ladies are my line. But it's true. Sometimes you want to see the consistency at which he can keep up with his word. And yeah, saying that, oh, you know, let me see. I want to see, how is he serious about it? But you just say one night, I love you. She says, no, I don't love you. You say, okay, I hate you. No, don't be like that. So you see that everything that you give consistency to, you give a thing consistently, you give yourself consistently to a thing, it starts to respond and you start to enjoy the benefits of whatever you give consistently to. Amen. To get the full benefits of prayer and study. One of the things the Spirit of God told me to tell you, it was profound. He said, consistently, it will gush out some water. If you can stay at the brook, you will have gushes of water sprouting forth from that brook. Streams of water sprouting forth from that brook. You will have a consistent flow sprouting forth from that brook. So many of us have not understood that we are standing before a brook in our walk with God. There is a brook we stand before. And until we understand that a certain kind of a stain and a certain kind of a keeping up with it, it what brings forth the freshness of the water, then we can be able to stand there and stand for long and say that we are going to be here. We are going to be consistent in prayer to relent. We feel like it. Whether we understand what we are reading is that we know that the brook is going to bring out water someday. And then you stay at it. And then you stay at it. And then you stay at it. So many times, not many people are able to keep up with a life of study and prayer is because they do not understand this principle. It's what I had the Spirit of God show me, like almost like in a vision. It says, if you're able to stand at the brook and you're able to stand there 2 hours, you've not seen anything, but you're still standing at the brook, a time comes where there are gushes of water that springs forth out of that brook. So many people just say, this prayer is very difficult. No, there is an enjoyment that comes with consistent prayer. So Paul here in Romans chapter 6 verse 11 is painting out an interesting picture to the Roman church. All right, I like the Amplified version. So you can almost tell that many people stand right at the brook and they say prayer is very, you know, pa- powerful, and prayer is a blessing, and prayer is a relationship. And me, when I enter into prayer, I don't feel anything. I don't sense God there. I can't even feel God. No. I'm teaching you the hack. This thing, I know it very well. I know it like my name. I know it like my name. Romans 6 verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and your relationship to it broken, but alive to God in unbroken fellowship with Him in Christ Jesus. So let me just give you a background study of Romans chapter 6. Paul had already spoken about the fact that the old man to sin was crucified and dead, and the man in Christ was alive in Christ. So he was trying to say that the man who was not in Christ was a dead man. And so he responds to impulses of the flesh, which is of a dead origin. Then he later on comes to say in verse 11, he says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive in God, in unbroken fellowship with Him in Jesus Christ. Right? Verse 12. And then he says something. Verse 12. So you can almost tell in verse 12, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it. Amen. So he's saying that let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So he's saying that the man who is in Christ obeys to the lust or to the biddings of the sinful nature. The man in Christ is the one that obeys to the lust of the flesh. So the man in Christ is the one that yields himself to the passions of the flesh. The man in Christ, whenever you find him go contrary to the will of the Spirit, obeys and yields and wields himself to the demands and passions of the flesh. Is an uncontrollable emotion. That's what it means, passion. So the man in Christ consistently yields to this, and he says, you know, I can't really know, you are the one that yields to it. Now see what verse 13 says. Verse 13. You are the one that says that I've yielded to it. Now, listen to what he says in verse 13. He says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. So, Paul is telling the Roman church, do not be subject, don't subject your members, the members of your body, to unrighteousness. But listen to what he's saying. He's saying this to you as well. I'm going to show you something. But yield yourselves unto God. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He's saying that do not present your bodies under the wiles of the flesh, the dangerous pricking wiles of the flesh. He says, you as an individual, make up your mind. Be in a decisive act to yield your members to righteousness and to its demands. That's the Spirit. So, yielded to God's passion is allowing yourself to be given to the passions of the Spirit, the strong emotional desires of the Spirit, things that are peculiar with the Spirit. He says, you are the one that says yes to it. So what is Paul doing here? He's trying to stop believers from saying that I just didn't know, I didn't want to pray, and I'm not praying. No, he's saying that you will have to say, I yield my members as instruments, or I yield my members to righteousness. So he puts a primary responsibility on the believer to yield to passions of the spirit, or to yield to passions of the flesh. The Greek word for yield is actually paristemi. Paristemi. It's paristemi. I want to explain yielding so that whenever you are in a fuss of breaking out and not submitting yourself to the demands of the spirit, you will know this one, I have a responsibility, a primary responsibility to yield, right? So the word yield there is actually to support, right? To give assistance to. You see that? So let's say you have an old woman who is almost falling off her chair, and then you go to give assistance to. That's a word to yield. So you're giving a certain assistance so that the woman will not fall. So in the same place of prayer, there is a certain submissiveness and assistance you give to the demands of the spirit that causes that consistency to be established. So to yield also will be to give way to demands or pressure. You see that? So we are saying that there's a demand of the flesh, a demand of the spirit. The demand of the spirit might be to pray, to study, to walk in love, you know, to go to church. The demands of the flesh, envy, you know, unrighteousness, fornication, lack of prayer or prayerlessness, lack of a Bible study, because that's what the flesh is looking for. So whenever these two members are calling, Paul says, you have a responsibility to either yield to the flesh and to its demand, and to sit down and say, I'm watching a movie. The movie is 2 hours and I've given myself to the movie. I don't know how I sat down. You actually sat down to watch the movie. But somebody who yields to the spirit will give way to the demands of what the Spirit of God wants him to do per moment and per time. So when you are yielding to the flesh, it actually simply means to help the flesh. You are helping the flesh. When the flesh says, it's not time. It's not time to pray. I want to sleep. The man who is of the Spirit knows that to still lay in the bed and still give out excuses is to yield to the flesh's demands. So what does he do? He switches off into speaking in the spirit. And he starts to pray in tongues. And long before you realize, the spirit gains a certain ascendancy over the flesh. So one of the things I want to teach you tonight is that you have a primary responsibility of supporting the demands of the flesh or the spirit. To support the demands of watching a movie or to pray. To support the demands of engaging yourself in a fruitless conversation or to pray. To support yourself or to support, you know, the flesh by sleeping like a, what animal sleeps a lot? Like a bat during the day. And during the night, you are even sleeping. You are more than a bat. You sleep in the day, you sleep in the night. We don't know where exactly you stand. So you are the one that actually yields to its demands. So many times we should grasp this entirely. We are the ones that open up ourselves to either of these demands. I can tell you for a fact. You know, there's a song by St. Community Church. It says, there's a mighty flow of God's Spirit in this place today. There's a ceaseless flow of God's Spirit in this place today. I yield, I don't hold back, I yield to God's Spirit. So you see that when the Spirit gets moving and there are prophesyings in the place and there are rejoicings in the place and they are running around in reckless abundance in the place and there are sights, sounds, spiritual activities going on, the one who is spiritual yields to those emotions and to those impulses he can see in the meeting, and he jumps into it. He supports it. So you're going to be joining in what is happening, and that's what we call to yield. You are giving to, you are subjected to, you flow with. So what am I trying to say is to keep this in your mind, that there's a core responsibility on ourselves to either yield or not. You know, when there was a time of my life, I was so tired, come back very exhausted, and then I'll sleep. I'll say, I'll pray tomorrow. And then maybe tomorrow I pray. I'll say, okay, I come. I say, okay, no, today I don't really need to pray. I just need to rest. So one of the days I came in very tired and I said, today I'm going to sleep. And then the Holy Spirit said, no, you should pray. So I said, I mean, I'm tired. My whole feet hurts. And he says, I just want to show you something. So I sat down and then I started to pray in the Spirit. Now praying in the Spirit there will be yielding to the wheels and to the demands of the things that are spiritual. So I started to pray. And when I began to pray, in a short while, I realized that the pain I felt in my body slowly dissipated. I said, ah, what is going on? I know I came in here with, you know, body pains because I've been standing the whole day. So guess what? As I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, I got to realize my body was responding fine. My body was responding fine. I could almost sense this freshness just welling out of my body. It almost seems like I could even pray way longer than I probably would. So what's happening? I am yielding to the Spirit's demands of prayer. Amen. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit that raised Him up shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So many times there's a revitalization, there's a freshness that happens to us when we yield to the Spirit. Now, I want to teach you this. Whenever you are tired, I put it to you. You can pray. You just need to tell which of the two you're going to be yielding to or not. If you're going to be yielding to the Spirit, as you pray from the beginning, it's going to be difficult. Like, I think my back, yay, I can't even. But as you keep in it, as you keep at it, you keep at it, you keep at it, you keep at it, you'll realize a certain kind of a strengthening that comes from a certain man that is on the inside of you that causes you to arise up to the occasion of prayer. So I got to realize this thing. I knew, I learned this by experience. There was no day I was too tired to pray. There was no day I was too tired. If I was tired and I said, I am tired, then that means I yielded to the flesh. But knowingly, I knew that I could always pray irrespective of how my body was responding or how my body was telling me how tired it was. So when you have a movie and you just are going to pray and you just put on the movie, you say, let me just watch 20, you are yielding to God. So God's Spirit in us will make alive. It will quicken. It will strengthen. As you go, the pain will dissipate. Many times, have you realized that you are sleeping? You are sleeping. It's like you want to pray, but it's like God. But you just keep at it. You keep at it. And all of a sudden, the tongue just blows out of you like Rabba Shatol. And then the sleep is gone. And you're able to stay there and stay there and stay there and stay there for a while. Exactly. It's to know. It's a hack. It's a code I'm giving you. Anytime you realize that the flesh begins to call out its demands, place a yielding power on the spirit. Make sure that the spirit's call is what you heed to, is what you listen to. So many times we come back from spiritual meetings and we are fired up. Hey, like Charlie, we went to this meeting. Quick, apostle, there was fire. Quick, today I want to pray 24 seconds. You see, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. What you are experiencing at that point is an acute exacerbation of a condition of prayerfulness. It's acute. You know what it is to be acute? It means that it starts out abruptly. You see that? It starts out abruptly. Say we are excited. We're going to pray 3 hours. Yes, let's pray. Why? Because apostle is in town. Apostle said, after 2 days, we're looking for you. We're saying, where is that? You say, we, God will help us. God will help us. No. Amen. So at that point in time, what do? You are in your acute state. It's abrupt. It's sudden. You see, the acute condition. Flu is an acute condition. Cold is an acute condition. Asthma. When it comes, after 2 minutes, 3 minutes, everybody is gone. It could be acute or chronic, you know. But that's not what I want. I want you to have something that is chronic. You know what it means to be chronic? Is it lasts over a long period of time. You see that? When you have arthritis, it's a chronic condition. When you say something is chronic, it means it's there like it's not there, but it keeps on firing the signs or symptoms consistently. So what happens when you return back from a spiritual meeting is that there is a certain edge that you're put on. And because you are put on that edge, you easily yield to it. That's how come you get into prayer. Tell your friend, don't yield to sleep. I'm teaching you something. Don't yield to sleep. When you wake up the first few minutes, you are struggling on the something, standing, it's like you are sleeping. No, don't yield to it. Stay there. Keep at it. So it's a yielding process to the Spirit. Soon, you would realize, oh, I'm in tune. Stay there. It's a war you are fighting. It's a war between the flesh and the spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verse 17. It's a war you're fighting. Listen to what he says. He says, for the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So have you seen that? It says the things that ye would, not the things that the spirit of God will come upon you. The spirit is here. Let's pray consistently. No, that ye would. So he then goes on to realize and state out the activities of the flesh. He says the activities of the flesh, the demands of the flesh, the works of the flesh, all of these are adultery, their fornication, their uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness. He's saying all of these things, you are the one that actually yields out your members to this war. So it is a war. You have a role to choosing whom you yield to. The flesh doesn't want you studying or praying, obviously. The devil doesn't want you to study and to pray. Many times these are the two battles of the yieldings that you have. There are many distractions that the devil actually puts right ahead of you when you are not smart to not yield to his demands. But your spirit man wants you to pray. See that? There was this friend of mine. Anytime I'm coming to pray, that's the time he's calling. I said, hey, I started to look at him in a certain way. I said, no, you can't be calling at the time I want to, like the time I want to pray, you are calling. Why should you call? I just said, no, you can't call at this time again. Because I was not going to yield to the demands of the flesh or of the devil. So be ready to fight. The moment you understand this, 50% of your prayerlessness and your lack of study will be dealt with. 50%. The moment you understand it, that, see, I choose what to yield myself to, that moment you begin to win. So you can note the activities of the flesh. When I was in Kumasi, I remember I was in a place where I couldn't pray, because I couldn't pray out loud. I could pray out silently, but I just couldn't have that expressions of prayer. And then I'll go out. And by the time I come, they will lock me inside. I mean, they will lock me outside. And I just said, if you lock me outside, there's a field not far. I'll just go there and pray. Yeah. Because I was ready to yield to the Spirit's demand of telling me to keep a consistent prayer life. Yeah. In fact, one of the times I had my Bible study, I had my Bible school ID card and many other things in my bag. And I was told that if you misplace your Bible school ID card, they're going to sack you. And I went to pray one day and I had my bag with other materials and my Bible school ID card in the bag. While I was praying. And praying, somebody is that he stole everything I had. He left only the ID card there. Yeah. And I said, I will not be discouraged. Prayer is that lifestyle that God wants me to live. He stole everything except the ID card. That was how I was safe. So you realize that it is a fight of the flesh. It is a fight of the flesh. It is a fight of the spirit. You will now say, Charlie, I'm going to pray. See, hey, I'll pray. I will pray. That's what I'll do. I'll pray. I will pray. See, sleep. You see, sometimes when I'm praying, I'm telling you practical things. Things that I'll be praying and I'll be sleeping some way. I'll say, hey, ask my mom. She'll tell you, I'll go and pick water and wash my face. And normally I have this hack. When water touches my hair, I can't sleep again. I said, you devil, you should have taken this thing away from me. So I'll go and look for, I just pour water on my head. You see that my eyes are open again. Because I understand that it is a fight between two strong sides, the flesh or the spirit. And I always want to be yielded to the spirit. And so I give to the demands of the spirit in prayer. Yes. Some of you know that when you sleep, it's almost impossible to pray. You have to change the strategy. I'm telling you, you change a strategy. You find a strategy that works. If you have to stay up to pray, you will have to do that. If you have to stay up to study, you will have to do that. So it's a conscious battle, and you are being empowered tonight by the teachings to see those attributes of the flesh. And to see those attributes of the spirit, and you will find yourself constantly yielding to the demands of the spirit. You say, I'll pray. See, I'll pray. So fight the good fight of faith is what Paul is actually telling Timothy. Oh man of God, Timothy, there is a fight that needs to be kept as a Christian. Without prayer, you cannot win this fight. Fight it and win it and fight it and make sure that you are fighting it. You're a married woman. You're saying that the children, when I pray, I can't get up. So because of the children, you will not move out and pray. Move out into the hall and go and pray. Move out into the couch and go and pray. Go into the garage, go and pray. Your much of your life and much of the things that God's going to do with you is highly dependent on your prayer life. Kneel down and pray. Soon, the brook will bring out water. They're saying that when I pray, I don't really feel. Don't worry. Soon, you'll feel it when you pray. But whether you feel it on the prayer, I'm telling you, sometimes you can even finish praying. And I've seen it. You can even finish praying. And the next time you go into prayer, it's almost as though you've never spoken. These are things that are not different to any, if any man of God will tell you, they'll tell you the truth. They'll tell you the truth. It's not every time you go and you feel like the heavens are open before you. Sometimes you enter then it feels like you are not praying at all. Your prayer is not even going past the root. It's a deception. It's a deception. Stay there and pray. Sit down on your chair and open your Bible. But we are still keeping up at it. Very soon you will find out that the brook is beginning to bringing out some freshness and some water. Yield to the Spirit's demand. So many times I've had to pray without feeling it. I don't know whether God is there or God, but I know by His word that He's told me that He's there. So I'm keeping at it whether or not I feel like praying. I know it very well. You don't need a rushing wind in your room to prove that you are praying. Listen, ever since I put out that attitude of I feel like praying, I've prayed more better. And I've kept a more consistent prayer life. You know, it's quite interesting. Many people think, go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. I want to show you something. Hebrews chapter 4. Tell your friend who is listening to me, say, keep at it. Don't worry about the feelings. Don't worry about what's happening around you. Don't worry about whether you are falling down or standing. You just keep at it. Keep at it. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It's an interesting scripture. It brings tears to my eyes. It keeps me up in prayer. You know, it says that, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. So Jesus actually knows it. Listen, me, I'm very sure that Jesus went to some points to pray. He didn't feel like he was praying. I'm somebody that believes he just prayed and he left the place. So he understands. We don't have somebody who cannot identify with our weaknesses. When he told Peter and other disciples to pray, he went back, came back, they were asleep. We have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it is for the war of the flesh against the spirit. He has experienced it before. At a point in time, the Bible says he was hungry. He was. He was thirsty. He was. At a point in time, they said Jesus wept. He cried. At the point in time, he was tired. So he had to rest. So he almost can identify with whatever is almost like a weakness that we go through. So the weakness of not praying and not studying is not only you. It's everybody's war to fight and to win. But I see you winning in Jesus' name. I see you winning. Jesus had weaknesses and yet still he prayed. I am sure about this. So you will yield to the demands of godliness. You will yield to the demands of godliness. Take up the courage and say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'll read this Bible. I'll read it. You are reading it. It's like you don't worry. Don't worry. What we are trying to build and what we're hoping to build is a consistency. You are winning as you keep consistently doing that. So some of you are just thinking, you know, Pastor, I started very well. For 7 days, I prayed, but after 2 weeks, Pastor, I've not been able to pray. That's okay. The moment you realize you are not praying, that's the moment you need to get back at it. Forget whatever days you didn't pray and start to go back at it again. Remember, what we are dealing here is not an excitement, right? Where you just have acute exacerbations of prayerfulness. No, is we are hoping to build something consistently in you that stays over time. Remember, it's the consistent prayers that you keep that keeps you staying in what he's called you to. Remain consistent. Now, we're going to look at practical ways of building consistency. These are practical ways. We're now going into the practice of what I've told you. And then we'll look at a few. So we're going to look at practical ways of building consistency in prayer and in the study of the word. Number one, keep a discipline. Learn to pray and study even when you don't feel like. Keep a discipline. Keep a discipline. It's not about, oh, the Holy Ghost is on my head. This is what actually differentiates people who keep up consistently with an activity and people who don't. I'm telling you, those who do not keep up a consistent life of prayer are not keeping a certain kind of a discipline of prayer. There are certain times you don't feel like brushing your teeth, but you have to brush your teeth either. Why? Because brushing your teeth becomes a discipline. Sometimes you are there, you don't want to bath the whole day. Hey, but if you don't want to bath the whole day, that's just very serious. But there are some people, they don't want, there are certain times you don't want to bath the whole day. You see that? But you still get up and you still go to the bathroom and you still bath. So there are certain times you don't feel like praying. You don't feel like sitting down and saying, I am going to study, but you still have to do it either ways. So you keep a discipline at it. Listen to me. If you don't keep a discipline, it's not going to happen. There was a time I remember. I had prayed, God. And during that season, I remember the weather was so cold. And I still have to get up and pray. I still had to. Because I knew it wasn't about how I felt or how I responded in that season, is that I was going to keep that discipline of prayer. Listen, there is no other way of dealing with prayerlessness except to pray. Are you listening? So somebody's saying that, oh, if you could just show me a way that maybe I will begin. No, the way to pray prayerfulness or to pray is to start praying. Is to start praying. Nobody just wakes up and says that, wow, the Holy Ghost is on my roof. Empire ball. Now, those people are excited. You see that? They're acute people. Just the exacerbations are just acute. It's not that you wake up and you say, wow, the Holy Ghost. Wow. Consistently, the Holy Ghost wants me to read my Bible. Oh, wow. Oh, hey, there's a revelation. Oh, no. No, there's a discipline you have to build. There's a discipline you have to build. There's no other way with wanting to deal with not studying than actually sitting up to study. So you have very lousy excuses, unfortunately. I'm not really the reading type. You should stop that nonsense. You are too young for that. Why don't you want to read? Who did this to you? 22, you say, I don't like reading. I like watching, you know, I like the movie aspect of it. Just show me Jesus' movie. You don't grow like that. I have a teaching on reading. You should look for it. Why you should read? It will bless you. You will never want to not read in your life again. So there is no way to deal with prayerlessness than to pray. You need to say, hey, I am going to pray. There's no other way. Employ simple strategies like no prayer, no sleep. You see, that's the discipline. Employ simple strategies in your discipline. No prayer, no sleep. No Bible study or reading of a chapter, 2, 3, 4, a book. No food, no breakfast. Build a discipline that says no to the flesh. No Bible, no phone. No prayer. I can't be comfortable because I have not prayed. Employ these strategies. Number two, build a routine. Have a specific time created, allotted for prayer. You see, you're not going to pray spontaneously out of the blue. Anybody who prays spontaneously out of the blue doesn't have a prayer life, can't grow up in their prayer and in their walk with God. You say 12 to 1, I will be praying. Have a specific time. When I'm praying, I don't like to lie to myself. You know, sometimes you can come out and say, wow, today, Charlie, I prayed for 4 hours, but you pray for only 1 hour. 20 minutes. So I like to look at the time. So you are starting at 1. That's the time you started. I tell myself, you've seen it? That's the time. You don't say you prayed at this time. That's the time. So many times in keeping up disciplines, you would need to have specific durations, specific times known to yourself that you are going to pray. Specific times of saying, I'm going to open my Bible. I'm going to sit down. See, look, I've really read something. We don't understand. I continue. Those things will begin to make meaning to you. I'm telling you. That's when the brook begins to bring out some water. The brook is bringing out water now. So build a routine. While you build a routine, beware of things that are distractions. Phones, friends, social media. I'm going to pray. Oh, let me check Facebook before you realize the 2 hours has passed. Facebook, the 2 hours has passed. Someone sends a message. Put off your data. Possibly put off your phone. Because there are calls that could come in to interrupt those precious moments of prayer. Someone sends a message. Just say, let me watch a movie 2 minutes before. You know, Pastor, let me just end the series. That's how you didn't pray. Listen, you need to be very intentional about your prayer life. You need to be very intentional about your Bible study life. Our next session, I'm going to be teaching you how to study the Bible, like, correctly. But you need to at least have a discipline of prayer and of study. Who's going to put off their social media and put off their distractions and have routine times for prayer? Means that when it's 12, you know that it's time for me to pray. When it's 1 in the afternoon, you know that it's time for me to pray. When it's this, you know that it's time for me to pray. Okay, why don't you just leave your eating times and just say, I eat, I don't know how many times I eat, but anytime I feel like eating once a day, I'm okay. So you will have routines for prayer. Listen, build it. If not, you won't have a prayer life. You won't have a prayer life if you don't have a routine. If you don't have a time, you don't have an allotted slot for prayer. Amen. Another thing to do is help yourself by employing tools that help you to pray. It could be during prayer or before prayer. Have things around that create an atmosphere for the desire to pray. I mean, you can't be listening to Shatawale the whole day and you want to have a prayer life. That's too I pity you. No. Have a speaker. I've told everybody around me, buy speakers. I've told everybody, don't come and tell me you don't have a speaker. Have a speaker. Be playing the messages. Be listening to them. Be playing the worship songs. Be listening to the songs. you see that you will suddenly begin to create an atmosphere that is conducive for having a prayer life. Keep it locked on. Learn to do this during the day. Create an environment during prayer. See, there are some prayer audios. I've prayed with them for close to 2021, 2022, 2024, close to 5 to 6 years. Yeah, 5 to 6 years. There are some specific audios. When you come around, I'll show them to you. This one, I'll tell you that I've prayed with it for 5 to 6 years. Because sometimes you enter there and it's like, Charlie, God has to do something to help you. But I'll tell myself, I'll be here. Whatever means I will employ it to stay here. See that the speaker is speaking in tongues and you're also speaking behind it. It's the same. It's a fight. Speaker is speaking in tongues. You're also speaking in tongues. Yeah. It's an old audio for prayer. When I put it, the atmosphere just stirs up. It's just, I just like, Charlie, I have to pray. So you keep up an atmosphere of prayer. Make sure you have the requisite tools, the requisite songs, the requisite instruments that you need to help you stay locked on in prayer. If you're on your bed, you have a headset or earpiece that you have, that you are staying. You're saying that it's one, it's two, it's three, it's four, five, seven, eight, nine. I'm praying for 1 hour. That 1 hour, I'm locked on. Are you listening? That 1 hour, I'm locked on. That 2 hours, I'm locked on. Many times, I have VCL media player on my PC. I know most of you have other players, including VCL. Sometimes when I say I'm praying for 1 hour, 30 minutes, I arrange the songs. Listen to how I do it. I arrange the songs to reach the number of whatever I want to pray. Yeah. So sometimes even in my prayer, I have a chunk of things that I have. So you see that my first hour or something I don't want to say, but my first hour is this. See that second hour is this. Third hour is this. Then you see that, maybe after 3-4 hours, I put one praise song, worship song. So it's just looping through. It loops through. See that? So when I say I'm praying for 1 hour, it loops through. Everything loops through. So when I get in, there's no coming back to the laptop, and we are just going to die there. See, whether the devil likes it or not, we are going to stay there until the thing doesn't finish. I know that I've not finished. Yes, I know I've not finished. So it just loops through. It loops through, loops through. You see that the thing is there. 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, looping through, it loops. When you add all the time, you see that the thing there is 2 hours, is there, is looped, it flows in. There are no interruptions. You need to build out this. I don't know how I got this, but that's how I do it. It loops through. There are no distractions. You can't call me. You can't reach me. You can't text me. You can't do it. I'm locked on in there. Yeah. So when you see my VCL media player, you see that everything flows. And I know that at this time, I'm supposed to be doing worship. I just get a worship song. How many minutes of worship? Okay, I put it there. See that everything flows. You need to do that. If not, the devil will stop you from praying. You need to put all of these things. Remember, it's a fight. A fight. So you create that environment that helps you during prayer sessions. Create the environment. Even though you might not be able to pray. Create the environment. Create the environment. Number four is actually the point that will help corporate workers and people that work, you know, have a very busy schedule, you know, they're up and doing. I want to show you how God helped me do it. Are you listening? So what happens is that it's very important for you to have a very special consecrated time of prayer. But it's also as important for you to stay full of God during the day and during the cumbersomeness of your activity. Yeah? So it's good for you to have a very consecrated moment or time of prayer. But it's even much more important for you to keep it locked on throughout the day. Now, these are those for corporate people, people that have work after work after work after work. I'm going to show you how you do it. Are you listening? We don't want you to become a vessel that pours out and pours out and pours out to the world and never is full of the Spirit. So one of the things the Lord told me was this: maximize your day. I'm telling you, what I'm sharing with you were one of my struggles at the very beginning of my walk with God, while I was working and while I had a very busy schedule in the midst of other busy activities. So he said, maximize your day, even when you are away from that secret place of prayer. Now, like I said, there's supposed to be a consecrated time where you pray, but also there's also going to be that maximizing of the day. That maximizing of the day. Now, this actually helps us fulfill what's written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, that tells us to pray without ceasing. So what is it to pray without ceasing? Yeah. So ceasing there without stop. Is that you're just going to be praying throughout? Or when the morning comes, you are praying. The afternoon comes, you are praying. That's actually the fulfillment of a scripture, is what I'm going to teach you in this particular point. So pray without ceasing. So there is not a time where you are not praying, is what Paul tells the church in Thessalonica, right? So pray without ceasing. That's actually the goal. Many times when I oftentimes realize is that, well, maybe you're there, you pray for 1 hour, you're there, you pray for 2 hours, you're there, you're studying for 3 hours, or maybe you're studying for 1 hour, you're studying for 4 hours, whatever hours. That's not a problem. I got to realize that anytime I prayed or I studied and I left off to do the busy things that I had to do, I came back eating much more, not feeling like I had prayed, or not even getting to sense that I had prayed. And that, you know, bothered me a lot, because I'm like, I just prayed and I just went out and I've come back and I'm just not even knowing what is going on. Then he told me, maximize your day. He said, have you seen 1 Thessalonians 5:17? I said, yes, I've seen it. What does it say? Without ceasing. Okay, how do I do that? Every time of the day is how to stay full of God. So it's good to have consecrated times. It's much more effective to be locked on in prayer, even when you are not in that consecrated place. So it means that in the bus, you have a mind of prayer. Sometimes you're praying directly under your breath. Okay, we have 10 minutes more. Sometimes you're praying directly under your breath. Sometimes you're not even praying, like somebody can hear you. But deep within you is a prayer that you're praying in tongues, or you're praying concerning something. So you stay in tune throughout the day. If you do 1 hour and you go out and you are talking, you're all over the place, you don't even have any, you don't have a time where you just reconnect by praying in the Spirit, whether silently or whether outwardly, whether in any way you come, you'll realize that you lose out on the benefits of staying connected throughout the day. So in the taxi, you get home. Sometimes even at the workplace when there are breaks, you're keeping it locked on. You're keeping it locked on. You're staying full of God. Ephesians 5, 17, 18. You know what it says? Being full of the Spirit. So you want to keep being filled with the Spirit. And he says how? He says speaking to yourselves one to another in songs, psalms, spiritual hymns. So you're going to be keeping it locked on throughout the day. While you're walking in that path, you're speaking under your breath. Or there's nobody around, you're speaking under your breath. You're speaking under your breath. You're speaking under your breath. You're praying. While somebody's sitting close to you, you're speaking under your breath. So you will be able to maximize the day and its busyness, but yet still, you are still locked on in the place of prayer. I used to have placards in my pockets when I go to work of probably a scripture. And then I pull out the placard and I just look at it shortly. I just look at it shortly. Sometimes you're busy throughout the day. You just look at it shortly. And you say, that's what God, it keeps you locked on. Remember, you're fulfilling what we have in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. You have a consistent prayer life. Amen. Fifth point is to learn to deal with the guilt of not praying for a while. It's something that actually causes you to be lacking in the place of prayer and in the place of study. So you see that. Learn to deal with the guilt of not praying for a while. Learn to deal with the guilt of not studying for a while. Amen. So you say that I've not prayed for a very long time, Jesus. If I even pray, will Jesus understand me? No. There's every time he's willing to hear you. There's every time he's willing to hear you. And so don't hold on to guilt of not praying for a while. It's actually what causes you not to even pray for a longer time and pray for, you know, and pray when you're supposed to, because you almost might be feeling, I was away. I've not been able to pray for 2 weeks now. I feel like I'm just one dead spiritual log. Is one, I feel, no. The moment that you realize that you're becoming guilty of not praying for a while, shut off the guilt, get into pray. Are you listening? Because that's how the devil takes you far away from him. So I don't have guilt of not praying. I don't. I honestly don't. Anytime I realize it, I just go back to it. That's all. I know God always has his arms wide open to me. So deal with the guilt of not praying for a while. It's actually how to build up on a consistency so that you don't have anything blocking out your frequency, the way that you do it. There's certain times it comes up that, you know, things can come in the way. But the moment you get to realize that I've not been on it for a while, get back at it. Anytime you remember, get back at it. Don't pay attention to your feelings. That's the guilt. Get back at it. There was a time I was praying. Hey, I thought God is not hearing me. I couldn't feel anything. And many of us, that's our problem. Is that once we just start praying, we need to feel some rushes, electrocutions, some feelings. No, I've grown past that. Yeah. Sometimes you can be praying, you think that every time you pray is every time you should have a vision. It doesn't happen like that. Not every time you praise, every time you have a vision. Not every time you praise, every time you hear the Lord's voice or God talking to you. Prayer is a faith activity. And so you keep at it regardless of what is happening, of whatever is going on. Don't pay attention to your feelings. And lastly, don't despise the gathering of the saints. Don't despise the people who are giving to you to help you grow in that attitude of prayer. You know, things rub on us when we come amongst ourselves. Their graces, their abilities, there are things that we see, we love in people and we catch when we gather. And so one of the last ways of making sure that you stay up and keep up in this consistency of prayer is to make sure that you're always found with people who are praying. You are there. Prayer meetings, you are there. Eh? Always be there. We all, when we pray, Alex pain us. So it's not new. It's not, as for me, when I pray, everybody prays. Everybody's legs hurt when they stand to pray. Everybody. I'm not left out. Everybody. Everybody likes to sleep when they are praying. Everybody. But God is helping you to keep up a consistency of a study of the word. Learn to sit down. Say that I don't understand. Look, it's okay. Just read it. The brook is going to bring out water. The brook brings out water. And I want to encourage you. Build up this consistency. Start from tonight. You say that, Pastor, I didn't know it was like this. But now I know that sometimes we pray, we don't feel. Sometimes we pray, we feel. Sometimes we pray, we want to maximize our day. It's very important where we will maximize the day. We'll help ourselves by employing the tools that we need to. We'll build up a consistent routine of prayer. We'll keep up with the discipline of praying. And soon, you will realize that it's working. It's working. It's working. Father, I thank you for whosoever is here tonight. And I pray a new turn in their walk with God. 50 years from now, you will still have a consistently growing prayer life in the name of Jesus. Father, you will help them. Father, you will help them in the name of Jesus to keep up a consistent life of prayer and of a steady word. We thank you for strengthenings in the name of Jesus. They will begin to pray and they will begin to study your word and to read your word. We thank you for helping our infirmities by your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name.